Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we still have one more person, one more name in that list of eight people who were with Paul in the city of Corinth when he was writing his epistle to Rome, who wanted to be remembered in his greetings to the church at Rome. It starts in verse 21, Timothy, my fellow worker, and Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my countrymen, greet you. Verse 22, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. Verse 23, Gaius, my host, and the host of the whole church greets you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you, and Quartus, a brother. Quartus, what a name. And we'll talk about him a little bit, and then we'll move on to the last verses of the epistle. But Quartus, a brother. Or Quartus, the brother. Who was he? Well, we don't know much about him. His name is a Latin name that means fourth. A rather common name, again, in that first century. And generally was given to the fourth child in the family. That makes sense. So all we know that he has a Latin name, sort of a Roman background, a Roman style of culture, and a Roman name, a Latin name, and that probably he was the fourth child in his family. But we also know that he is a Christian because he is called a brother. What did he do? We don't know. It's not recorded. All we know is that he did enough to be mentioned by name in the book of Romans. That's enough, isn't it? In other words, he was faithful enough to the Lord and active enough in the church at Corinth that he could request to be mentioned in this way, and Paul would honor that request. In other words, he was apparently, I take it, a quiet, steady, behind-the-scenes kind of faithful, loyal Christian, a helper probably more than a leader. In fact, the kind of Christian that churches depend upon, the kind that make churches effective. Yes, you have to have effective leadership, but you have to have faithful fellowship, or effective leadership gets you nowhere. You don't need a lot of leaders, but you need a whole lot of followers. We've all heard the phrase, too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Well, sometimes that's the case. Everybody wants to be a leader. Nobody wants to be a follower. Thank God for those who are faithful followers and content to be. In many situations, you have people who are followers, people who are leaders, and a certain number of the followers, if that's the right term, fancy themselves to be leaders. They think they ought to be the leaders, except they haven't been recognized for all of their talents and abilities and wisdom, and nobody's placed them in leadership, but they know they qualify. I mean, they believe they qualify. They could lead better than the leaders do. They know more than anybody else knows. They see things more clearly than anybody else. They know what's wrong with everything, and they're Monday morning quarterbacks, and they are not very helpful to the cause of Christ, the people like that in churches. And there are always some like that. Thank God for those who aren't. I take it Quartus is in that category. He's just a quiet, steady, behind-the-scenes, faithful, loyal brother. There are never enough people like that. Just an anonymous brother, an anonymous believer, an anonymous member of the church, an anonymous helper, a faithful, steady person who is there and does what he is supposed to do when he is supposed to do it, and does not require a lot of personal attention, doesn't require any public attention. And that tells me that you don't have to have a big house or wealth or talent or an outstanding public personality or gift of public speaking to serve the Lord. Some of these others fit into that category, but Quartus apparently doesn't, does he? Quartus was not a Tertius who had the professional skill of an amanuensis to write this letter. Quartus was not Gaius, who was wealthy enough to have a house big enough to host the Apostle Paul and to host the whole church. Quartus was not an Erastus, who had the prominence, the training, and the social influence to become the treasurer of the city, and eventually, we think, the manager of the city of Corinth. He had none of that. He was just an ordinary, common person. Wasn't it Abraham Lincoln who said, God must have loved common people because he made so many of them? There are a lot more common people than there are outstanding people. And you don't have to be wealthy to contribute significantly to the work of the Lord. You don't have to have outstanding talent to contribute significantly to the work of the Lord. You don't have to be a recognized leader to contribute significantly to the work of the Lord. What do you have to be? You have to be committed. You have to be faithful. You have to be obedient. That's it. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. A steward is a high-ranking servant. That's what he is. A servant that is capable of having large responsibilities committed to his trust. And the only requirement, really, for a steward is that he be found faithful. If you're faithful in the little things, said Jesus, then you will be faithful in that, in bigger things, in that which is much. And if you are faithful in the little things, then people will entrust you with more. But you've got to be faithful in the little things. And everybody can do that. Everybody can do that. If you will. It takes commitment to Christ, to His Word, to His church. It takes faithfulness to Christ, to the Bible, and to the church. It takes obedience, obedience to Christ, obedience to His Word, and obedience to those who are leaders in the church, and the right kind of obedience, the right kind of submission. That's all it takes. Faithfulness, and if you will be faithful, the Lord will use you mightily. And God uses all kinds of people from many different backgrounds with many differing talents. He uses virtually everyone in the body of Christ who has any desire to serve Him. There is a sense in which God uses everyone, saved or lost, yielded or unyielded. He uses everyone to accomplish His purposes. He even uses the wicked to accomplish His purposes. But on the other hand, it is also true that God blesses those who serve Him willingly, deliberately, faithfully, and unselfishly. And I want to be in that category, don't you? And dear friend, whoever you are, if you are a child of God, you can serve God in ways that are more significant than you realize. And therefore, may God help us to get busy using the opportunities and resources God has given us for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. And now we come to verse 24 of Romans chapter 16. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And you'd think that would be the end of the book, but actually it's not. William Tyndale, the pioneer English Bible translator, wrote these famous words in the prologue to Romans in his 1534 edition of the English New Testament. And here's what he wrote. For as much as this epistle is the principal and most excellent part of the New Testament, the most pure gospel, and also a light and a way into the whole Scripture, I think it meet that every Christian man not only know it by rote, but also exercise himself, therein evermore continually, as with the daily bread of the soul. No man verily can read it too often or study it too well. For the more it is studied, the easier it is. The more it is searched, the more precious things are found in it. So great the treasure of spiritual things lieth hid therein. That's what he said about the book of Romans. And what do we find in this book that Tyndale valued so highly? In the first three chapters, we find an extensive treatment of the universal sinfulness of man and the need for the gospel. That is not soft preaching. In fact, in many quarters, it is not proclaimed at all, the sinfulness of man, the exceeding sinfulness of man. The most popular preacher in America today, the one who is identified as the most popular of a humongous church in Texas that meets in a former sports arena, seats multiplied thousands of people, said publicly on an interview on television, on a well-known television interview program, that he does not mention sin. He does not mention sin in his sermons. Well, then he's not faithful to the Word of God, is he? He's not a man like the Apostle Paul, is he? Because the first three chapters of the book of Romans deal with man's sinful condition in detail. You can't be a man of God and avoid the subject of sin. You can't be faithful to the Word of God and avoid the subject of sin. You can't be a man of effective godliness like the Apostle Paul and avoid the subject of sin. You might be popular in today's culture, I'm sure you may be, but you cannot be a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and avoid the subject of sin. I'm sorry, but you can't. My dear wife was given an incredible opportunity to talk to a businessman about the Lord in a business that she happened into, saw it and stopped and went in and had never been there before. And I won't relate the whole conversation. It was quite amazing how the Lord opened it up. She said it was just incredible when she told me about it. I couldn't believe it myself. The things she said and the questions he asked. It was just like he was just opening up the opportunity for her to give him the gospel. And so she started to do that. And she said, well, you have to understand that everybody is born into this world sinful. Out of relationship with God, our Creator. And he said, I don't like to hear things like that. And she said, nobody likes to hear things like that. But it's the truth. We can never understand who we are and how we relate to our Creator if we are not willing to deal with the truth. It's the truth. That's why we talk about it. Not because it's pleasing, not because it goes down well, not because we like to hear it, but because it's the truth that we need to hear. And that's the way this whole epistle opens. For the Apostle Paul, led by the Spirit of God, inspired by the Spirit of God, faithfully dealing with this unpopular but so essentially needed truth, that men are sinners, born sinners, delight in sin, pursue our sinful rebellion against God, and therefore need a rescue which only God can provide. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.